This is Brother Metter, and it's good to be with you today. First off, I want to caution you. You know, we're in a serious time. We're in a time of great trouble and chaos to our nation, and there's a lot of things floating around on the internet, especially on Facebook and Messenger, and there's prophecies and videos being posted, and I just want to caution you. You know, the Lord told Moses, he said, if there's a prophet among y'all, speak to him by dreams and visions. And then he goes on and exhorts the people that if there's a prophet and he speaks to you by dream or vision, it come to pass, and he tell you, well, let's go serve other gods, and you better not listen to that man. So what I want to tell you is whatever you're listening to out there or whatever somebody sends you, they may be pretty well right. They might can nail something. But what you need to do is go back and look at their life, and you need to go back and look at the ministry, and you need to see what they're preaching, what their standard is, and where they're leading God's people. Because the Lord told Moses, said, if somebody prophesies something and it comes to pass, and they tell the people, let's go serve other gods, he said, you put them to death. They got a wrong spirit. They got a spirit of witchcraft or soothsaying or divination, because a soothsaying and divination spirit can get things right to a point. It can predict things. It can divine things to a certain point. But you need to pay attention to what is being preached and where they're leading God's people. So you cannot just take somebody at a sign. You can't just take them because they spoke something and it come to pass. You have got to know what their doctrine is. You got to know what they're teaching. You got to know where they're coming from. And I'm not going to let somebody prophesy to me that I don't know if there's ministry is proven or not. There's one thing about this word. It's been around 48 years. You can go back on this word and you can trace it back. And you can find where God has confirmed this word with signs and wonders for decades. I mean decades, all the way back in the 80s. God has spoken, and this word has come to pass. There's been signs given to this word. Way back in 86, there was a sign given about the space shuttle. And then again, I think around 2004 and 5, God spoke right there in the church in Fort Payne about the other space shuttle 1 week. Before it crashed, he spoke about 9/11 in 2001. I told the people, I said, there's going to be an attack on American soil, just like Pearl Harbor. It's going to be a sneak attack, and it's going to kill into the thousands. And I heard the voice of President Delano Roosevelt, who was president in 41 when the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor. And he said, this day shall live in infamy. Well, if y'all remember, Time Magazine wrote an article, and our Newt Gingrich spoke those words. He said, this day shall live in infamy. So I heard it. I saw it. The Lord said there was going to be something then that was going to shake the nation from the mayor's house all the way to the White House. It was going to be an attack on American soil. God showed it to us. 2005, the tsunami that hit Louisiana, Katrina, that was spoken in prophecy. So this word is not fly by night. This word is not something that just popped up and popped on the scene, but this word is steadfast. It's unmovable. It's solid in doctrine. It's solid in clean and righteous living, and it will lead you what to do in a time of crisis. And the word that was spoken on the 25th of April, 2019, if you go back and listen to it, it's telling you everything that's happening right now. Right now it's telling you everything that's happening in our nation and what's going on. And God not only has told you what's going on, he has brought the word of the Lord to tell you what to do, to tell you how to seek God and how to put things in action for God to move for you. And I've had a lot of people and tell me, well, Brother Metter, we've gone back to prayer. God's leading us back to prayer. That's good. But what is the focus of your prayer is the key. What are you praying for? What are you seeking God for is the key. And you don't need to be praying for God to move this virus, because the Lord has allowed this virus. This is not of the devil. God has brought this virus in to stand the world still. And there's never been a time in history where God has stood the world still to get people's attention. And he has done this to bring the body of Christ together, that the body of Christ as a whole will seek God for the unity of the faith. They will seek God for pure doctrine. They will seek God for the restoring of the Spirit of God that came on the day of Pentecost to set up the church and establish spiritual government. And they will seek God in a unity for God to restore the church and get things back on track. You're not just going to pray and believe you're doing the will of God. You need ministers. Ministers should be leading you what to pray. Ministers should be hearing from God. They should be giving you direction. And if ministers aren't giving you direction, I can't help it. But you don't need to go out there on a fishing expedition on the internet and on Facebook and YouTube and start trying to find somebody that's going to give you a word from God. You're talking about something that'll shipwreck you. So don't be sending me videos of all these preachers that you don't know nothing about. I don't know how many I've got on video messenger that people have sent me, said, listen to this prophecy, listen to that prophecy. I don't need to listen to them. God has spoken. God spoke the word of the Lord to the nations right here on the 22nd of March, told us what to do, told us the situation we were in, told us why he had allowed this virus, told us how to seek his face, what to pray for, how to petition him. And then he told us how. He started telling us, get in prayer more often. So God has brought the word of the Lord to us. He's told us we were in a looseness, we were in a slackness. Everybody running around hollering, wrath of God, wrath of God. No, it's not the wrath of God. It's a chastisement to bring God's people back in line. And I know there's men out there seeing things. There's people out there prophesying things. But this is not a judgment on the world. This is not something that's going to turn sinners and turn the world to the Lord right now. God is trying to get his people's attention, period. That's it. This is a chastening to bring God's people back in line. And David said in Psalms 119, I believe it's verse 67, that when I went astray, God afflicted me. God afflicted me when I went astray. So you need to pay attention to the word that's being given. And I've listened to many great preachers over the years, but I'm going to tell you something. I'm not going to go back to a minister that's dead and try to get a present word from the Lord, because it ain't going to happen. They might you might be hearing about things that were prophesied. They may have it. There's a lot of men walked with God. They prophesied things that were to come. Some of their prophecies still ain't come to pass. Do I have confidence in that prophecy? Yes. Do I believe they were men of God? Yes, I do. But they cannot give you direction now of where to go and what to do. They can tell you it's coming. They can tell you what it's going to do. They can tell you, they can speak it and it'll happen. But in the time of crisis, in the time of trouble, we don't need to be trying to fish the internet and YouTube and different things to try to get a word from God. We need somebody that can speak the word of the Lord in a present crisis. And God has given me this word. He's told me what to do, and I'm going to stay with it. I'm not going to run off and get somebody else's word. And I'm not going to be looking around for prophets or prophetesses or whatever people want to call themselves. I believe in prophets. I believe in apostles. I believe in the spirit of prophecy, prophetess. I believe in it. God said it was in his word. But God said in his word in Ephesians 4 and 11 that he gave some apostles. That's more than one. Some prophets. That's more than one. Some evangelists, pastors, and teachers. That's all plural. He said he gave it to them for the perfecting of the saints. That word perfecting means it's got to bring the saints to maturity. for the work of the ministry. You can't have the ministry operating in perfection and in the fullness and the way it needs to if you don't have those five offices, and they're lacking. That's why God's got to restore government to the church. He's got to restore that apostle and prophets ministry. You believe they're gone, that's fine. You don't believe there's any apostles and prophets this day, that's fine. But Paul said in Ephesians 2:20, for we are built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. He said the mysteries that God gave him were revealed to the apostles and the prophets. They've been hid since the foundation of the world. He listed the fivefold ministry in Ephesians 4:11 and went on into 12 and said these were given for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying, the building up, the erecting, the teaching of the body of Christ until we all come in the unity of the faith. That's one faith. That's the one faith that he listed back in Ephesians 4:4. One faith, one Lord, one baptism, one God who's the Father of us all, through us all, and in us all. He said, till we all come to the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto a mature and complete man in Christ, to the measure of the stature. Are you listening to me? Let me turn over and get it. It's in Ephesians 4, and I believe I'm about verse 13. I wasn't planning on reading this, but that's all right too. Until we come into the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, to the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man. That's a mature, complete man in Christ, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That measure of the stature means we come to the fullness of years and maturity that was in the man Christ Jesus. And that is where we're going. That is the faith. There is no other faith to be preached. There's no other doctrine to be preached. That is the unity of the faith. That is the faith that was once delivered to the saints. That is what Paul preached. That is what Peter revealed, what Paul revealed. All the mysteries that Paul wrote in the epistles are to take us into the unity of the faith, into the mysteries of God, which the mystery of God is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And that's what Paul is saying here. But you got to have these five ministries to bring it to pass. And everybody is wanting to run out here and grab a word from this one and a word from that one. We need the body of Christ restored. The word of the Lord to God's people was seek, 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 seek for the restoring of the faith, for the restoring of the faith that was once delivered to the saints. And it's this right here in Ephesians 4:13. And Paul said, when you do this, and he goes down to verse 14, then henceforth be we no more children tossed to and fro. So until you get these ministries, till you get this government, till you get this leadership, till you get somebody that knows the voice of God and has a proven ministry, and the word stands firm, you're going to be as children tossed to and fro when you go out here running after every wind of doctrine. You go out here running after everything that somebody gets a whim about. You're going to be children tossed to and fro. You're going to wind up shipwrecking. You're going to wind up not being able to stand. I have built people on a solid foundation. I've been pastoring 20 years now. And for 20 years, I've built people on prayer. I've built them on the word. I've built them on being steadfast in their praying, their giving, their studying the word, their living by the word. It takes it all. It builds a solid foundation. Living by the word, studying the word, honoring God in your giving, walking with God, practicing the word of God. It's all building blocks to build a solid relationship with God on that foundation that Paul said, as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation, and no other foundation can be laid which is laid, and that is Jesus Christ. The foundation is laid. My God, go back to the Gospels and get the parables of the house built on the sand and the house built on a rock. It tells you what'll stand. stand. The only thing that's going to stand is the solid word of God. And this is why people are in fear. They're in confusion. They don't know what to do. They're wondering. Preachers can't preach. They don't know what to tell the people. And a good shout ain't going to get it right now. We need a solid word from God. And I've tried to give people a solid word from God for 48 years. This word's proven. It stands. You say what you want to, think what you want to, do what you want to, run where you want to. But this word is solid. And it stands and is proven. Because people have seen it come to pass year after year after year after year. And the prophecy that was spoken on 4/25/2019, go to our webpage, worldrevivals.org. Look it up. Listen to it. Listen to it. It tells you God said there was going to be a turning of things upside down. Tells you he was going to turn things upside down from the mayor's house to the White House. That great fear was going to grip hold of people's hearts, but his people would walk in faith and confidence. He went back and told his people ever since 2009, he said, I've admonished you to put back food and water for natural calamities and disasters when they come. You wouldn't have to fear. You wouldn't have to run out here and panic like the rest of the world's done to try to hoard up food. It's a spirit of fear that's gripped this world. You don't have to live in that. You don't have to be a part of that. But you do have to get built on a solid word. And you go listen to any prophecy you want to, but you better find out what's behind it. You go listen to any minister you want to, but you better find out what they believe, what they're teaching, what their lifestyle is, whether their word's proven or not. Not just let somebody prophesy a bunch of junk over you. You need to know before somebody lays hands on you or listen to a prophecy that somebody has a proven ministry, because I'm going to tell you something, a wrong spirit will go down inside of you. Because you can be susceptible to a spirit of witchcraft and soothsaying by listening to the wrong words. So you better know what you're doing. You better know what you're listening to. See, I don't listen to just anything. There's so many of these prophecies that come that I X them out of my, I delete them out of my inbox because I don't want to hear them. Because I don't know the ministry, don't know nothing about it. And if it's of God, it'll prove itself out. It'll prove itself out. But it might mess you up too. So I didn't know I was going to get off into all of that. But we need a word that people are going to follow that's going to lead them in the right. And God's give us a word. God give us a word on the 22nd of March right here from this studio. The end of it, he prophesied just shortly, probably just a couple of minutes. And then last week, on the 29th, God followed on with that word. And it troubles my soul that so many people still got a casual spirit about them. They still just are kind of just sitting around waiting and waiting for everything to go back to normal. Let me tell you something, there is no more normal. There is no more normal. You think you're going to go back to church and you're going to drop back into where you picked up and left off? You do. You've missed it. You have missed it because the course of man in the earth and the course of the church has changed in the earth. It'll never be the same. Not if you go on with God, it won't be. I can remember on March the 8th, 2018, the Lord gave my wife a vision. We were in prayer. We were praying down side by side, and all of a sudden, man, she yelled out. And like that scared me to death. But she yelled out and said, brace yourself. Brace yourself. And then she started speaking the word of the Lord. And she's put that, I asked her to put that vision out there because of the time we're in, because it's pertaining to this time right here. But God warned us 2 years ago that there was a course correction coming for the church. God's been speaking to us since 2016. That he was fixing to change the course of man in the earth. That he was fixing to bring in a new word, a new anointing, a new ministry. Give us new direction. And we just rocked on. We just kept rocking on the same old direction. Going to church and doing the same old thing. And calling it God. You get upset with me if you want to. But people are floundering right now. People are panicking right now. They're in fear right now. And they don't have a word from God to bring peace into their soul. Let me tell you something. Jesus preached the gospel of peace. And I don't have fear. There's not any fear in my heart. There's not any fear in my spirit. And as far as I know, the people that are sitting under this word and this teaching, there's no fear in them. It's like when 9/11 hit. Man, people started calling me up from everywhere and wanted to know, different things. Even my oldest daughter from college called me. She was in college up in Gainesville, Georgia, and they locked the college down. She called me and she said, "Daddy," she said, "you have something to do with this?" I said, "Probably." And I told her how God spoke. She said, "I thought so." I said, "You ain't got nothing to fear. You ain't got nothing to fear." People were crying. People were screaming. People were committing suicide. People were doing everything because they didn't know what was fixing to happen. But not one person that I know of that attended the Word of Faith Deliverance Tabernacle in Fort Payne, Alabama, was in fear, because God had warned them, God had taught them, God had led them in prayer, God had settled them, rooted them, and grounded them in a faith. If you ain't settled, strengthened, established, you know, Peter said, and I can't remember, I believe it's chapter 5, and I think it's long about verse 10, he said, "After ye have suffered a while, the Lord will establish, strengthen, settle you, and make you perfect," or bring you to maturity. We got a bunch of suck bottle babes out here in the church because preachers won't get in their prayer closet and cry out to God and bring them a word to give them peace and to order their steps in a time of trouble. That's what's wrong. We got too many immature Christians, and it's time to get down to business with God and quit running around here seeking a word, seeking for something to give you peace. I tell you what will give you peace: getting on your knees and hunting a relationship with God, seeking God, getting a hold of a word that will teach you to pray, teach you to seek God, teach you to study that word, teach you to walk the word out in your everyday life. That's what will give you peace. Because Jesus said, "In the world you have tribulation, but in me ye have peace. My peace," he said, "I leave with you." It's time to come to peace. It's time to know a God of peace. It's time to know a God of salvation and deliverance. And it's time to know that there is a word that will order your steps and direct your path if you'll pay attention to it. Go ahead and have all the prayer meetings you want. Y'all go ahead and get together and you go ahead and you pray for God to move this virus and you curse the devil and you rebuke the devil. And when you're through, I'll tell you, all you've done is waste your time, because God has brought this. This has been ordered by the Lord. This ain't something that just popped up. This has been predestined and foreordained from the foundation of the world. God spoke in a prophecy here. We were in prayer Monday night, the 30th of March, here at our home, and God began to, the Spirit of God hit me out of nowhere. We had just got out. I probably hadn't been praying 2 or 3 minutes, and I was just reaching out to the Lord, and man, all of a sudden, the Spirit of prophecy hit me, and God began to speak, and God spoke in that prophecy. He said, "I have waited for the arrival of this day." He said, "I've looked for it. I've longed for it." He said, "It's been predestined and foreordained, and I've waited for it to come, because this is the time that God is bringing his people into a realm we've never walked. This is a time that through seeking God, through obeying direction on how to seek God, on praying for this restoration, on praying." You say, "Well, Brother Metterick, can we pray 2 Chronicles 7:14? Yeah, the only prayer you really need to be praying is repentance. And then you need to be praying for God to restore the church. You need to be praying for God to get you in a relationship and for God to restore the church and get us ready to receive the latter rains of the Holy Ghost. Because that's where we're at. God has got us in the place. He's ready to pour out of his Spirit. And I'm not talking about Day of Pentecost. I'm not talking about Azusa Street. I'm talking about the fullness of the resurrected Christ. The latter rains of the Holy Ghost are being made ready to be poured out. You know, the Lord was dealing with me late last night, and the Lord told us in Joel 2:23, he said that he had given us the former rain moderately, which is the day of Pentecost. He said, "I give you that in moderation." He said, "But I will cause to come down for you the rain, the former and the latter rain, in the first month." And I always thought I know the first month in our calendar is April. And so I always sought the Lord in April. I've had meetings in April because I thought God was going to pour out the rain, the former and the latter rain, in the first month. And in 2015, God spoke to me and said, the first month is a sign of a new beginning. And he said, "I'm fixing to give my people a new beginning." And God spoke in 2017, November, and said a new move of his Spirit had begun. And then he started talking to us about light springing up and light coming forth. And on August the 25th, 2019 of last year, spoke to me at 2:30 in the morning and said the darkness that was in the beginning was spiritual darkness, it was not natural darkness, and began to show us the light springing forth. And on Thanksgiving morning of last year, November the 28th, I was preaching live stream into Africa, and at 2:30 that morning, the Lord spoke to me in prayer, and he said, Africa had always been known as the dark continent, but he said, no more shall Africa be known as the dark continent, but it shall be known as the continent of light. For I'm sending an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. I'm sending my word. I'm sending a work of my spirit that's going to break out a revival like the book of Acts across the continent of Africa. So God is beginning to move. But here God's people are cowering in fear. You're cowering in unbelief. Get on your feet. Shake yourself. Take hold of the word of God. And dare to believe. Go back on this YouTube channel and check March 22nd of this year and March 20th. And it will tell you what to do. It will give you peace. It will give you joy. It will give you confidence. And it will give you direction, which is what a lot of people don't have right now. And I didn't know the Lord was going to take me this way. I had something totally else planned. But that's all right. People need direction. They need wisdom. They need understanding. If you're going to seek for a word, you better look at what's behind it. I will warn you again. Some of you will go into confusion. You will go into darkness. You will go into bondage with deceiving, unclean spirits. You will get messed up in witchcraft, fortune telling, and soothsaying spirits. Because I'm going to tell you something. Prophets are out there and they're a dime a dozen. They'll prophesy to you. I'm not saying there ain't some real ones out there. But they few and far between and they hard to find. But you got people out there that will prophesy to you at the drop of a hat. They'll tell you what you want to hear. They'll try to make everything look rosy. Oh, yeah, they'll tell you it's a time of trouble. But if they get you to listen to that word, then that soothsaying spirit's going to get a hold of you. And it's going to start lying to you somewhere along the line. Pay attention, children. Pay attention. Go back and look at your scriptures. When Moses come with the true word of God to Egypt, what was studied? Magicians, witchcraft, soothsayers, magic tricks. When Elijah stood on Mount Carmel in 1 Kings 17 and 18, and he stood against the prophets of Baal, what was studied? Witchcraft. They thought they could cause fire to come down from heaven with their enchantments because they'd been doing it before their gods, but when they got the presence of the real God, God shut them up and wouldn't let them do it. When Philip went down to Samaria, what was studied? Simeon, man bound with witchcraft, had great powers. And he put himself out to be some great man of God through witchcraft and soothsaying and spells. And when Paul headed out from the church in Antioch in Acts 13 and he went to that island to preach to that deputy, chief deputy or whatever he was, Elymas the sorcerer withstood him. It's always been witchcraft. It's always been demons of soothsaying. It's always been doctrines of devils. And we're facing them in these last days. And God's people in a trial, we're in a calamity. I'm not making light of this virus, but I know where it come from. I know where it come from. God told us what to do. He told us how to focus our prayer. He told us on the 22nd of March to go in 30 days of intense prayer. People have bloated off. They've laughed at it. They've mocked it. They've made fun of it. And they're just waiting for everything to get back to normal. They ain't going back to normal. You go back to normal in your church has missed it. You go back to your three songs and a prayer request and your little sermonette, you've missed it. You don't get in a time of prayer and seeking God and let the Spirit of God get a hold of your heart and direct you how to pray, and you pray according to the word of the Lord that's come to the nations. And it ain't just come to me. There's people in Africa, India, there's people all over the world listening to this through this YouTube and through this live stream. And that's why the Lord spoke to me, said this is the word of the Lord to the nations. Back in 2009, some of y'all remembered, I published it in a magazine. It's out there in print somewhere. We were in Fort Payne, Alabama. We were having the last service of our youth rally in 2009. It was Sunday morning, June 28th. I was out under we had a big youth pavilion out there where they had their services. And I was out there praying, been fasting ever since the latter part of May, somewhere around the 1st of June. The Lord spoke to me. The word of the Lord come to me and said, if my people which are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. He said, then will I hear from heaven and will heal their land. You go ahead and go to prayer. That's good. But till you humble yourself, till you pray, till you seek God's face, till you turn from your wicked ways. God wasn't talking to the sinner. He was talking to the church. Everybody is talking about how this thing's going to spawn a great move of God all over the world. Let me tell you something. This ain't to the sinner. This is to the saint. This is get the saint's attention. This ain't wrath. This ain't judgment. This is a chastisement to get the saints back in line. Well, will some sinners repent? They might, but God's not focusing on the sinner right now. God's not going to focus on the sinner until he gets the church in order. Once God gets the church in order, gets God's people back to prayer and dedication, gets the church where it should be, then God will start saving sinners and bringing them in. God's not ignorant. He's not going to go out here and save a bunch of sinners when he ain't got no mamas to nurse these babies. I mean, Lord showed me that way back in 81. God's not going to save a bunch of sinners when there's not a church to shepherd them and shelter them and mother them and teach them and feed them the word and bring them along. He's not going to do it. The souls would die. The souls would just fall back in the devil's hands. So what is happening right now is not to bring the sinner to repentance. It's to bring the saint to repentance. And it's to bring the saint to seek God, find their place in the body of Christ, cry out for restoration, and cry out for God to prepare us for this latter-day outpouring of the Holy Ghost that is going to bring forth a move of God that is going to be like the book of Acts and go beyond. But the church has first got to be restored. God first spoke of restoration in Joel 2:25. He said, I'll restore to you the years. The cankerworm, the caterpillar, the palmer worm, the locust. He said, all that has taken all this away from you. Well, the Lord told me 2 or 3 years ago that the caterpillar, cankerworm, palmer worm, locust, all that is doctrines of men that once the Holy Ghost was given on the day of Pentecost, it come in and begin to strip the church. It come in and begin to pollute it with doctrines of men, begin to water down the teaching, begin to water down the working of the Spirit. And it wasn't very long, maybe, I don't know, I've never checked, see how long the move of God lasts, but probably 100, 150 years, the dispensation of the former reign was gone. They weren't having those great miracles. They weren't having those great revivals and great crowds and whole cities turning out. Why? Men's doctrines watered it down. Then we come under the dispensation of the reign. We had Azusa Street. We had the revival in Wales. We had the healing revivals in the 50s. But now everything's dead in the water. We've come to the end of a dispensation. We've come to the end of a generation, the generation I was raised in with divine healing, where people turned out to revivals in 15, 20,000 a night for weeks on end. Men like T.L. Osborne went overseas and reached 100, 150, 200,000 a night in Africa and all across Europe and down in South America. And I was trying to remember that man's name. Tommy something went down to Argentina and had a great revival down there. And I can't remember his last name right now, but went down and met Juan Perón. I believe it was Argentina that Juan Perón was president of. Met him. Revival broke out. Tommy Hicks never done anything in this country, but went to Argentina and preached 30, 40, 50, 60,000 a night and had great revivals because God spoke to him. That was all under the dispensation of the reign, but we got to have something now because those dispensations is past, those generations is past. The Lord showed it to me in 2018. It's dead in the water. It's dead on the tracks. Ain't nothing working. And now God has brought this to stand the world still. And you think God has brought a plague on the face of the earth to stand the world still just so he could stir you to pray? You better think again. God has brought this plague, and he said in several prophecies that he was bringing the body of Christ together all over the world. And he's brought the body of Christ together for one reason. That's to seek his face, and that's to seek his face according to his will. And that is to come into unity. That is come into the unity of the faith. That is come into one mind. Paul said there need to be no divisions among you. You need to have the same mind, the same judgment, and speak the same thing. And I'm going to tell you something, if we don't get a hold of this, God will raise up somebody that will. There is going to be a people that's going to be called by his name. There's going to be a people that's going to come together in one mind for one accord. There's going to be a people, there's going to be no divisions among them. And there's going to be a ministry of apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers that's going to govern, that's going to lead the church. The church is going to come forth in the unity of the faith, which is the knowledge, the fullness of the knowledge of the Son of God, the fullness of the measure, the stature of the fullness of Christ. They're coming to it. They're going to go out and speak the word. They're going to evangelize this world, and souls are going to be saved by the thousands. And you can go ahead and you can just keep on shy-my-shy-time, jerking and shouting and giving your little prophecies and having your dead services and doing whatever you want to do. But there is an act of God in the earth, and you got a choice. You can either stay in your tradition, you can stay in your doctrines, you can stay in what's going on and wait for everything to go back to normal, and you can go right back to your dead works. You can go back to your putrefying junk, or you can get out of the business in prayer, and you can earnestly and intently seek God for these days ahead, and you can become a part of a great move of God. It's time for somebody to speak the truth, and I'm speaking the truth to you. Because if you can't see the course of man and the course of the church has now changed, churches will never come back the way they were. There's some of them will never survive this. The reason some of them will never survive is they won't bear up under the financial load, because some of you will not be mindful enough and care enough about your church to send you tithes and offerings in to keep the church going while your church is shut down. You people that attend our churches in Fort Payne, Alabama, and LJ, Georgia, you need to be sure you find a way to get your giving to your pastor. You get your giving to your pastor. You keep your church doors open. You keep your church afloat. You keep them bills paid. You keep that blessing of God on you. And because when this thing's over, the true church of Jesus Christ is coming out. It's coming out roaring. It's coming out burning like a bright and a shining light. There is a move of God, but it's not for the sinner. It's for the saint. It's not for the sinner. It's for the children of God to be brought together in unity, for God to put the body of Christ together, to put the gifts and anointing of God in, to reveal himself in the body of Christ and to bring it forth. And God is moving by his Spirit. You said, Brother Matter, I don't see nothing happening. That's because you don't have ear. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is speaking to the church. He that hath an ear to hear. Because as long as you stay in immaturity, as long as you do what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13, and you know in part, prophesy in part, and understand in part, you're going nowhere. Paul said, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I thought as a child, I understood as a child, but when I become a man, I put away childish things. And then he said, when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part is done away with. And God's been trying to get rid of things in part. He's been trying to get us out of doctrines and traditions. He's been trying to get us out of form. And the Bible says, and Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, Timothy, he said, there's people out there, they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. He said, from such turn away, you better be afraid of when you got all this outward going on. When everything with you is outward and there's nothing on the inside, and you deny the very power of God, and there's no power living or moving in your life, and you're not walking in the power of the Spirit, then you better stay away from those people. Because Paul told him, he said, from such, turn away. Turn away from them. Paul wasn't talking to the sinner. He was writing Timothy and warning him. All of the things Paul wrote to Timothy about disobedience, unthankful, unholy, all that he was talking about, it was warning about the Spirit that entered into the church, the Spirit that entered into the saints. So things are, I ain't telling you things ain't in a mess. They are in a mess, but God's straightening them out if we'll listen. God's getting our attention if we'll listen. So you go ahead and you organize prayer meetings and you organize watch parties. You do everything you want to do, but you better pay attention to what the focus of your prayer and seeking God is. If you're going to listen to a prophecy, there's many people who prophesy. Man, there's people, follow William Branham, been following him since 63, been following him 55, 56 years. 63 is when he died. been following all those years, won't listen to nobody else, won't listen to nothing else. Them people hadn't had a live word from God in half a century. A prophecy can come to pass. It can confirm what God said he was going to do. It can be a sign to something. But that still does not give you a live, present leadership word in the right now to show you what to do. We've got to have leadership right now. We've got to have leadership right now. And God tell us what to do in perilous times. And God has told us what to do. You may not like me. You may not want to receive my word. That's between you and God. But this word is solid. It has direction. It has wisdom and understanding. And it showed us what to do in a time of trouble. I didn't put it in me. I didn't think it up. I didn't sit around and dream it up. And I didn't have a bean dream. The voice of the Lord spoke to me. And he told me, he said, my people are semi-seeking me. That's what he told me. He said, they're too involved in life. They're too involved in everything going on. They're not setting aside a time of dedication and seeking my face. And they're seeking my face with all this other stuff in their spirit and on their mind. And what the Lord told me was, he said, your sacrifice is polluted. You're bringing an unclean sacrifice. You're bringing a polluted sacrifice to the Lord. And he's not going to accept it. So now he's allowed all this. Go back and get the prophecy from last April. God said he was going to turn things upside down. He said, I'll turn things upside down in your government. I'll turn things upside down in your nation. There'll be a turning of things upside down from the mayor's house to the White House. You tell me God ain't done it. He said, then a spirit of fear gripped the people. He said, but my people would walk in faith and confidence. You tell me this ain't describing what's going on? You tell me that when God spoke and said there's going to be a great shake and I'm going to shake churches. I'm going to shake ministries and I'm going to shake ministers. You tell me churches ain't being shook right now. There's churches that's got 30, 40, 50 people that I've heard about got this coronavirus in the church. I know there's one in Georgia and I heard about one out in Arkansas. I don't know how many people they got, but one church has over 40-something sick in it. People in the hospital at the point of death. Other churches have 30 and 40 people sick in them. But I can go back and pull you up a prophecy from April the 4th of 2013 where God spoke and said diseases were going to come out of the heavens that men had never seen. They wouldn't know what to do. They wouldn't have no cure for them. And God said churches that had got off track. And I'm not saying these churches had got off track. I'm just telling you what God spoke back in 2013. He said churches that have got off track. He said that there was going to be people in the congregation get sick. He said some of these churches, these diseases God sends, and I'm not telling you this is one of them. He said it's going to wipe out half and three quarters of the church. Let me tell you something, children. God's angry at sin, but he's angry at sin in his people. Till God judges the church, he can't go out here and judge the sinner. And y'all want God to step out here and judge the sinner, but the Lord said judgment must first begin at the house of God. It's first got to begin with us. And if it begins with us, he said, where does the sinner and the ungodly appear? Because if God's going to judge us, you better know he's coming after them. So we need to prepare. We need to listen. I would encourage every one of you, go to our website, warrevivals.org. Go to our YouTube channel. Listen. Watch the service from 3:22. 2020, called the Word of the Lord to the Nations. Then the next Sunday, 3:29, 2020, I don't remember what I titled it. And you need to listen to this word, but you need to listen to the prophecy. You need to listen to the Word of the Lord. And you need to pay attention to what God's telling us to do. There's a prophecy at the end of the service on 3:22 that God gives us some direction. So we need to listen. We need to find leadership. We need to find a word that can give us direction. I think you can also go to YouTube and in the search bar, type in War Revivals. And my name's John Metter, and it will take you to our page. And you can listen to what God's telling us. But see, this word didn't just pop up. This prophecy didn't just pop up. This thing goes all the way back to 2009, what I was telling you, when the word of the Lord come to me. From 2 Chronicles 7:14, and the Lord took me into a vision I saw a huge whirlwind digging into the ground. It was spinning. It was digging down in the ground. And as God's people went to prayer, as they hearkened to the word of the Lord and humbled themselves and prayed and sought his face, I seen a big hand come down, put on the side of that whirlwind, and it applied pressure to it. And that whirlwind got slower and slower and slower and slower. And then it stopped for a few seconds. And then it started spinning the other direction. The hand moved to start spinning the other direction, come up out of the ground and took off. And God said, that's your economy. And I thought back in, you know, in 2009 and 10, we were having some trouble in the economy. But the Lord spoke to me on the 22nd of March. He said, that word is for now. Y'all know our economy was good. You know, since this has happened, our economy is digging itself into the ground. And everybody's quoting the scripture. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray. Well, the Lord brought that to me in 2009. And back in 2009, he said, this is the word of the Lord to the nations. So God had that word set for 11 years to bring it out now. This word didn't pop up. It didn't pop in, and it ain't going to pop out. It's going to be here steadfast. It's going to be here solid. It's going to be here telling you what to do. So it's up to you whether you receive it or not. It's up to you whether you choose to follow the mind and the working of the Spirit. But in this time of crisis, you be sure when you can't go to your church that you mail your giving, your tithe, your offerings, whatever you want to call it. You mail it to your church. You sustain your church. You help your pastor. Because I'm telling you, there's a lot of churches won't survive this. There's a lot of ministries won't survive this. And there's a lot of ministers. You know, there's ministers that call themselves evangelists. They're out on the field. They just run from church to church to church to church. Most of it was to get an offering, but they can't do it now. They're going to go off the field because they don't have nuts to sustain them. They don't have a word from God to help people. They don't have a word from God to lead people. This word will lead you. This word will settle you. This word will establish you. This word will give you peace. This word will help you weather the storm. And the word the Lord gave my wife on the course correction, she saw a ship in a storm. Where are we at, children? We're in a storm. And in that storm, she saw Jesus step to the helm of that old sailing ship, grab a hold of it, spun that wheel hard to the right, and sailed right into the storm. And the Lord has sailed this thing right into the storm. Because that's the only way you survive a storm on a ship like that. You sail into the storm. You don't run from it. A lot of y'all trying to run from the storm. You're cowering in fear. You don't know what to do. You're trying to figure out ways to ease your boredom. You're channel surfing. You're making games. You're doing games on Facebook. You don't need to be doing games on Facebook. You need to be seeking the face of God. I know all of us got to have a break every now and then and get a little pressure off our minds. But you don't need to spend hours doing junk. You need to spend hours studying the Word. You need to spend hours in prayer. You need to spend hours seeking God's face. And you need to be sure you stand financially with your church. Because churches ain't coming out of this. There's ministries and ministers. The Lord said he was going to shake them. He's going to put a great shaking on them. There's a great shaking going on right now in ministry and ministers and churches. But I'll tell you what, when the smoke clears, this Word will still be here. When everything settles, this word will still be here because it's solid. And God will sustain us. He will sustain this word. So, I give you the word of the Lord. I have not even touched what I thought God was going to lead me into. But I've done what's right in the eyes of the Lord. I give you God's word. I give you warning. I've done my best to give you direction. I've done my best to do what God's led me to do. And so, as we get ready to close this broadcast, I'm going to ask you, there's a lot of you out there, you watch this. If you don't get to watch it live, you go back and look at the archives. This word helps you. The word that we put out Monday, Wednesday, and Friday morning in the short videos, about 7-8 minutes, the podcast, all these things, I'm getting emails. This helps me, Brother Metter. Please keep doing it. Keep doing it. Don't quit doing it. Okay, help me. This internet costs money. All these things we're doing cost money. Look right there right at the bottom of your screen on the right-hand side. You'll see a little QR code. You can scan that with your phone. It'll take you to a cash out, and you can send an offering to World Revivals. Everything you give to World Revivals is a tax-deductible donation. So I'm asking for your help. All of you out there that listen to this, follow my comments and the little short articles I write on Facebook. If every one of you would make a commitment to send me $10 a month, that's all, just $10 a month, that ain't even a dollar a day. Well, Brother Matter, everything's in a tight right now. Yeah, but you can still afford a dollar a day. God's been good to this nation. As tight as things are, God's still been good to a lot of us. And if you can't do it now, do it when we come through this, because we will come through this storm. God's going to lead us through. I don't believe this is going to be the severity that people think it's going to be. I'm not making light of it. But I'm going to tell you something. Us coming out of it is going to depend on your obedience. Because if you don't be obedient and people don't get rid of this loose attitude they got, this casual, God can crank this thing up, but he can make this thing get so bad. And I mean, look what he's done. Just a matter of days, he stopped the world. You think God can't make this rough? He can make it rough. But if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, he said, then will I hear from heaven. So we've got to do what God said. The focus of your prayer has got to be repentance, restoration, and God preparing us for an outpouring of the latter rains of the Holy Ghost. So I'm asking you to help us. I'm asking you to stand still. Don't get out if you don't have to. You know, people say they still want to have church. That's between them and their pastor. But the more people you get together, the more people you get in a place, the more chance there is of spreading this virus. I'm not afraid. I got faith. But just because I got faith don't mean everybody I'm preaching to has faith. So use wisdom. Use common sense. Use understanding. And if you can't use that QR code, look right down the bottom of your screen. There's our address. There's our post office box. Send us an offering made out to World Revivals. We're getting ready to go to Africa. And I'm asking you to help us financially. People in Africa are so excited about this word coming. I'm excited about this word going. So we need your help. We need your help. You can do a dollar a day. If you do a dollar a day, you do $30 a month. Just commit to send an offering every month. And let us know we can count on you to keep this word going. I love you. I appreciate you. And I want to go to prayer with you before we get off the air. Father, by the name of Jesus, I ask you to give them eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to understand what the Spirit is speaking. Lord, you put direction out there. You put wisdom out there. You put understanding out there. Now give them the ears to hear and be obedient to your voice. I thank you, Lord, for talking to us. I thank you for speaking to us, giving us direction. I thank you for your mercy, your goodness, and your grace. And I give you honor in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Till our next broadcast.